My name is Jonathan Spleen Splat. I personally have taken over RBN, and, well, this is new news for you, but the ADL is coming down on RBN, and I'm heading up this whole process. So stick around for a moment and listen to what's going on. Well, we Jews no longer care what you think anymore. And by the way, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and donate. Hit the donate button. And I promise you that we Jews will intercept all of that money right now that you donate to RBN. But do it anyway, because it's the right thing to do. Says me, Jonathan Spleen Splat. So, yes, tonight is Friday, June 9th, 2023. Okay, so, you know, like I was telling you, we Jews no longer care what you think or know about anymore. So we're just going to read you, I'm going to read you what's in the RBN newsreel already. I didn't even know about this, that you anti-Semites were posting these articles up here. I found one right here. Here it is. Huh. It goes, while... Oh. Well, hold on. It's moving rather too quickly for my Jonathan Spleen Splat brain to process. So I have to go back to where I was. Okay, here it is. They are commandeering your property. Ah, yes, we Jews have certainly been doing that. And you can count on the fact that we're very proud of it at this point. Yes, folks, the protocols of Zion are a real. And we are confiscating all your property. Now, I have a video of this goyim over here, and it must be about 4 minutes long or so. They are commandeering your property. Okay, so let's go ahead. What was your name again, station manager?
Stop defaming me.
Yes. Stop defaming me. Will you please play the clip that goes along with this? They are commandeering your property. Wait! Let me read a little bit of it first. Government commandeering of property is growing. Our freedom and property rights are falling like dominoes toward the end. Here, let me rub my hands together. It's not so much a New York problem as it is a national one. In New York, the mayor commandeered several hotels, ranging from flea bags to a 4-star venues. He packed them with illegal aliens in numbers too large to otherwise be allowed. My predecessors, you remember their names from the 1965 Hart-Celler Act? Jacob Javits and Emanuel Seller spent 40 years in Congress trying to get the Americans to crack their borders open. It was quite a thing. And then, when it finally happened, well, we told you it was just going to be a little bit. However, look at you now. We're now filling all of your hotels with illegal aliens, and we're going to replace all of you white people. You people are done for. Your days are finished. We Jews have taken over the entire planet. Okay, so I'll just continue on with this article, because, like I said, we Jews have all this chutzpah, and we don't even know what to do with all of it. In New York, the mayor commandeered several hotels ranging from flea bags to four-star venues. He packed them with... Did I already read this part? In no time at all, we've seen entire city neighborhoods degenerate from class acts to third-world hellholes. No longer are there doormen in uniform and desk clerks dressed likewise. Room service has disappeared. There are no longer any bellboys, and the cleaning staff is afraid to venture into this third-world slum. Oh, yes! Oh! Jason... Excuse me, stop defaming me. Can you hear me now? I'd like you to play the clip from HIAS, the Hebrew International Aid Society, where they're talking about how wonderful it is that we Jews are keeping your borders open and unletting unlimited amounts of immigration. And I think this clip is from 2017. I could be wrong. I'm just using pure intuition here. After all, I'm a Jew. I can say whatever I want and it doesn't matter. Okay. Would you roll the clip, please?
Last week, HIAS organized a letter signed by over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? But agree they did, and what they agreed was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program. Jewish organizations of all kinds across the spectrum.
That's right, Goyim. It's not just HIAS. Jewish organizations of all kinds are across the board doing this everywhere. Have you ever heard of the Council of 50 different Jewish organizations? Council of Presidents of 50 Jewish organizations. Well, my goodness, I hear some static going on over here. What do we have over here? We have our favorite anti-Semite, Paul from California, a.k.a. Paul the Goyim. Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hey, sorry, I just wanted to apologize to you and any of the listeners out there. I completely spaced. I was actually having a little dinner at this, sitting outdoors at this little place nearby. Just totally lost track of time. And then I remembered all of a sudden, oh my God, I was supposed to be on with you tonight. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. And great imitation voices you're doing there. William.
I don't know what you're talking about. My name is Jonathan Spleensplat, and welcome to the show, Paul from California. Who's William?
William is a man among men who pretends to be other people on occasion for the radio entertainment value. And does, in many cases, a somewhat commendable job of it. How's that?
That sounds wonderful. But that's not happening now, Paul from California. Huh. Okay. So, Paul from California.
So, how about...
to have you on the show.
Thank you. I was just thinking a funny thought there earlier today. If you recall the conversation we had last night on Jeremy's show, where you were filling in for Jeremy, and then Jeremy ended up joining us, and we talked about the various sorts of signs that we could hold out in front of, say, the local synagogue there in Florida, or even that one sheriff, or even in front of Ron DeSantis's governor's mansion. You know, we could hold up various signs about hate. I thought of a good one. It would be like a sort of a cartoon placard, and we could just make a crude, like a box, make it look like a like a single wooden shack, all right, with just a door, for example. And we could write underneath this wooden shack and would say fake gas chambers, and then we could have at the bottom we could say, Jews, get in here. And it would be like an arrow pointing to the door. So it would be like all kinds of stuff going on there, but like, Jews, get in here, get into my belly. And it would have fake gas chambers, and I would think, what are they going to do with that? And it's like, when I think of these things, I really do want to do them. That's how crazy I am.
Well, Paul from California, my name is Jonathan Spleen Splat, and I bet you can only imagine how I might react to your statements. However, I want to let you know, I did go back into your archive last night, and I was just listening into it, because that's what I do since I'm a Jew. I go back and I scour for anti-Semitism, and I try to find it wherever it is.
Excellent. I'm flattered. I'm absolutely flattered. Are you going to indict me? I have not been indicted yet, and I would love to have a good indictment. That's what I want.
Yes, Paul. Your indictment is on the way. Okay.
So is it sealed?
Your indictment is here right now. I have with me here, I have Wendy Sherman from the Deputy Secretary of State, who just so happens to be stepping down and letting Victoria Nuland take over. How about them apples, Paul from California? How do you like that? Will neocon Victoria Nuland, the brains behind America's Ukraine policy, take the place of outgoing State Department number two, Wendy Sherman? Well, let's take a look. Blah, 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 blah. Little known but influential neocon out of two pages of blah, 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 blah about what Wendy Sherman was doing. Well, Paul from California, you know, I deeply respect you, Paul from California. I really don't have anything to counter your arguments with. So, excuse me, I'm trying to find the button that I have to push to get the gulag people to go and pick you up.
Well, just so you know, earlier in your blah, blah, blah thread, which I'm not sure if blah, blah, blah is good radio, but earlier you said, how do I like that? And I have an answer for you. I love it. Because as any good, what we call narcissistic, sociopathic neo-Nazi, I love government attention. I love attention from the highest sources because it makes me feel like I have, shall we say, some currency in this world. Otherwise, it's just me and my dog bumping around and eating things from day to day, right?
That's right, Paul. I remember that you were telling me that you and your dog both eat the same food. So you eat dog food, Paul. I think that's fantastic.
That's right.
I like that you eat dog food, Paul.
Oh, God.
When you get thrown in the gulag, we're going to give you more dog food. So it's all good. You're just getting ready for what's coming.
Well, so, you know, just anyway. since you mentioned it, we had some spicy sweet chicken and rice at this sort of newer. It's not new, but it's a newer Korean place that I haven't been to. But it's in the shopping mall near where I live, and I decided I'd try it. So yeah, I got a little bit of I got some nice cucumber to go with it, and a spicy sweet chicken and rice, and another little side dish. But yeah. Both me and my canine friend enjoyed it. You know, was not quite as good as some of my home cooking, I got to be honest. But other than that, it was another enjoyable meal that we all look forward to day to day in between our hating on the Jew. And which gives us quite an appetite, I must admit, Mr. Screenblatt. You know, makes me hungry.
It's not Screenblatt, it's Beansplatt. And by the way, I don't really care what kind of dog food you're eating, Paul, from California, because you're going to be getting kibbles and bits once you get into the gulag, so I'm happy for you either way, okay?
I'm just trying to fill a little airtime. So what do you think of my placard sign to be held in front of the synagogue or that senator, what's his name, Randy Fine, right in front of his house, where we just have a placard of a wooden shack, a kind of ramshackle wooden shack that has fake gas chamber underneath it, and then an arrow that says, Jews, get in here. I like it.
Oh, my God, I'm going to have a meltdown. Excuse me, Paul from California. What should we do with Paul from California now? He's gotten out of control. What should we do now? What should we do now? Yes?
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks.
Okay. Paul from California, well, I have an answer for you, okay? Now, my name is Jonathan Spleen Splat. It's not Jonathan Greenscreen. Okay, first off. So, what I'm going to say...
Well, I have a question. Can I ask you a question?
No, since you cannot ask a question, because I have to answer your previous question. The question is... Your answer to your previous question, Paul,
I don't know if I have a previous question.
We are admitting now that the Jews are taking over everything because we have chutzpah. And so since we have chutzpah,
chutzpah.
Have you heard of Theodor Herzl? We need anti-Semites like you, Paul, to show up in front of our synagogues and put up placards that say, Jesus, the original anti-Semite. It's okay to be anti-Semite. It's okay. Well, this is like a Russian wrote this. It's like a Let me see if I can do my Russian accent. Hold on. Okay. It's okay to be anti-Semitism.
Not too bad. Who's man of the drops? Mike, you got some good drops here to fill?
Semitism is a crime. Why is it okay for Jews to rape kids? Paul, we need you to show up in front of our synagogues with these signs.
All right, how about this one? I just thought of another one. Be fine. Staying with the theme about get in here. How about we have a big poster, you know, and these again are just something you can hold on the sign. As you know, the courts have always protected our rights to hold signs and placards, right? So we could put a big image of a guillotine on a sign, and then we could have underneath it, Jews, put your head here if you want. I think the if you want would help us, which is called the qualifier.
Perfect, Paul California. Fantastic! Oh, Theodor Herzl would be so proud. Here we go. Into a break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names. Shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Ain't no reason, ain't no rest. I'm gonna get down to the water and get undressed. I can stand it, I can stand it. I can't wait to see them walls fall down.
Nah. Good. Paul, what did you say? Did you say something?
I said a lot of things. What are you referring to?
Well, earlier you were trying to replace the music with your citations of something. So I was just curious as to what it was you wanted to say now.
I don't know what you mean by replace the music with my citations of something. Oh, you mean on the way out, right before the break. Yeah, I think I was referring to a placard with a picture of a guillotine, and then underneath it would say, you know, place your head in here if you like. You know, so the if you like was obviously the qualifier or the disclaimer. I think that could work also as well.
Ah, yes, we put, Paul.
What we'll do is on the guillotine.
You'd
on
like
the guillotine,
to give us.
Wait a second. This is the key. On the guillotine, we have the Star of David. So at the base of the guillotine, we put the Star of David, and it won't say anything about Jews. It'll just say, put your head in here if you like. And we could just stand out in front of, like, Randy Fine's house or a synagogue. You know, I don't know what they could do with that. What are they going to do with that? You're just asking if you like, if you want to, put your head in this picture. It's a placard of a guillotine. What does that even mean?
Oh, Paul from, this is brilliant, Paul from California. Paul, this is
Thank
brilliant.
You.
I'm just going to call you Paul, okay?
Thank
so,
you.
This is brilliant. I think this is a good idea because you're giving us Jews an option. You're giving us Jews an option. We don't have to put our head in there just because we're Jews, but we can if we want to. It'd be totally different than the Holocaust.
Then yes.
We'll just have the option as Jews to put our own heads in the guillotines that we put around for all of you goyim everywhere.
You got it. You
Whoa,
got it. That's why you are.
Oh, oh,
that's why you
goodness.
Are considered.
Perhaps us Jews are going to have to face karma someday.
Yeah, no, that's why you considered high IQ people. You got it. You're giving you the option.
That's true, isn't it? We Jews are on the highest end of the IQ bell curve that we created.
So here's another one for you. So we have on the placard an image of a volcano. And on the volcano, we could put the Star of David. Okay, that's it. Just simple, like a little Israeli flag, Star of David, on the volcano. And then right next to the volcano, we could have a diving board, right? And then underneath it would say, for example, Jews, take the plunge if you like. Again, it's like you're giving them the option. What can they do? Is that hate speech? Can that be prosecuted? I would love to get in front of a judge and a jury with that. I think I would. I don't know. Be careful what you wish for.
No, Paul, I think you're smarter than the Jews. I don't know what we're going to do with you, Paul. Maybe we'll make our own volcano and ask you if you'd like to jump in there, Paul.
Uh-huh.
How Paul, about would this you one? Like to dive into our Jewish volcano that we set up for you? We're just going to ask you ahead of time before we send, you know, the Mexican army to your house.
Right before the break, I got another one, and this one is dynamite. This one is genius. What we do is we take one of those cartoon images from back in the day, right, where somebody's being tied to the railroad track. Remember that? The old thing where you're tying somebody to a railroad track and a train's coming? So the person being tied to the railroad track, right, we could put the Star of David on that person. And then the guy or whoever it is, the villain doing the tying up, we could have Goyim, right? Put the label Goyim, okay? And then underneath, we could say something like, get ready, the train's a-coming. What do you think?
Wait a minute, Paul. My Jewish brain can't keep up with yours. Can you, wait a minute. So you want to put a Goyim on the train track and then say it's a Goyim there?
No, listen to me. What is going on with you? Have you not taken your pep pills today? No. So we could be like, for
I
example,
don't take pep pills, Paul from California.
Stop
you
defaming
don't
me.
Know anything about me, Paul from California. You're not going to get me frustrated about anything.
Have you not had your cold shower for today? So, no. Like, for example, in those old...
Wait, days, you remember, didn't give me a chance to answer your question. No.
Go ahead.
I have not had my cold shower. But you're right. I do take cold showers, Paul.
All right, so picture this. Like the old days where Snidely Whiplash, remember the villain Snidely Whiplash?
Oh, yes.
And he used to try to tie Polly, you know, Polly Purebred to the track. So, for example, we could have Snidely Whiplash or any other person you want to imagine standing over after he's done the tying up, okay? We could even make our own cartoon if we can't find the cartoon image that will fit. And we put it on the placard, and it's got the Star of David on the person that's laying on the track tied up. And then, you know, the train could be, we could put the label Goyim on the train. And then the caption underneath, this is all on a placard, is get ready,
the
train's a-coming. I like
that. The train's a-coming.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is Vladimir Strakovsky. Be quiet. Turn that music off right now. It's time for KGB Jail. All people who play Alice in Chains music. Alice in... Wait a minute. I don't work for those people anymore. Wait. Hello. Paul from California. I heard you here. Hey, it's good to talk to you, sir. How are you doing today?
Thank you. And I would just want to call out to all the listeners out there, if there are any, and I want you to call in with your own suggestion of what we might put on a sign or a placard to test the limits of these hate speech laws in Florida. Now, I've come up with a number of ideas, which I like myself, but of course I like all my own suggestions, being the sociopathic narcissist that I've been accused of being. But any of you listeners out there have any other ideas, feel free to call in, reach out to us, and we'll kick it around, and we'll roundtable it here tonight. Tonight only on RBN Live.
Paul, I don't want you to worry about being called a sociopathic narcissist, because all alpha males are being called that right now by Dr. Ramani, the mud shark from India.
Wayne, he definitely needs some clips of her, you know, but in another woman's
voice. I think so,
you know?
Yeah. Paul, I used to throw people like you into the KGB jail. Did you know?
I bet that you really enjoyed that.
Well, no, Paul. I didn't. I don't enjoy throwing people in the KGB jail because I don't do it anymore. I got thrown in the KGB jail because I didn't throw up with Jeremy. I didn't show up with Jeremy from Kentucky.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, Mr.
And my breath smelled like alcohol.
I want to see how committed you are to the cause, Mr. Splat Green. If your
Paul, this is no longer Splat Green.
Would you let me go with the flow and not correct my
Well, let me go grab Splat Green, Paul. Hold on a second. I think he left already. There's a party happening downstairs. Splat Green's there. I'm down there. Hold on, Paul. Hold on.
You killed the whole momentum I had going with your correction of my butchering of your imitation name of choice.
Here I am, Paul. I'm back now. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was quite the transition, huh?
Well, I heard you. I was listening to the show.
All right, so if you were to find out that your own mother was accused of anti-Semitism, would you indeed lock her up? Mr. Green.
My own mother?
Yeah, let's see how committed you are, Mr. Greensplat. Your own mother denies the Holocaust. What are you going to do? You going to lock her up like they do in Europe?
Oh, no, Paul. I'm going to have to kick it.
Because I have it on good authority that your own mother has denied the Holocaust.
Paul, you're an anti-Semite, Paul, to ask a question like that. Paul, you're not allowed to ask these kinds of questions. Excuse me, I have to push the button. Alton, California, in the gulag.
Staying on that same vein and then shifting gears, I wish somebody would ask me. Nobody has ever asked me if I deny the Holocaust. I would love to have that question posed to me because I would say, no, I affirm the Holocaust. I fully support it. And you know what else I wish? I wish I was on one of those, whatever they are, we've all seen them online on YouTube, the city council meetings or whatever forum where some black people have asked for, or demanded reparations. Oh, boy, do I wish I was up there on that panel when they came to say, hey, you know, we want our reparations. Because I couldn't wait to say, you know what? Here's your reparations right here. And then I would say, get a job.
Well, Paul from Cal. Look, Paul, I have to go back down to the party now. I'm going to kick it back over to Vladimir Strakovsky. Goodbye, Paul. Paul, hello, it's Vladimir Strakovsky. How are you? What did you say again?
Well, I didn't really say that much. I just was thinking, I wonder how Jeremy feels turning this Friday night show over to you about now.
Turning it over to...
That was right there, over the plate. I took a swing at it.
Paul, this is...
Paul, callers, listen, are you out there?
The,
come on,
coyotes
the have
taken
in.
Over the hen house, Paul. William Rapillum is out to lunch. I think he might be down at the party right now.
Do any of you callers out there have any good suggestions for the placards or the flyers or anything else? Or anything else I've said? Do you find even remotely entertaining, intriguing, interesting, stimulating? Let us know.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to read an article for you, okay?
No, not a reading of an article.
No, to read an article. Since you want to get back to the way things used to be,
Do it nice and slow and painfully, please.
Wake up, world. With 85,000 toxic environmental chemicals listed by the FDA, billions of gallons of today's zero-frequency wastewater are flushed into the ocean every day. Dolphins and whales no longer have the frequency they need to communicate with one another. It's so diluted in poison that they don't die of cancer and other diseases first. They become disoriented. They wash up and die on America's shorelines. This was inadvertently proven by Canadian Jay Addison when he bought a lab and test brain waves after drinking John Ellis water. Paul, what do you think? Don't speak, Paul. Never mind. Okay, wait. He found my water locked in brainwave frequencies while the ordinary water people drink drops to zero frequency in about half an hour before it's flushed into the ocean. If you go to johnellis.com and scroll down to Paul, I've had enough of this.
All right, how about this? A big placard with like an alligator pit. So just, you know, one of those alligator pits we've seen where there's just a bunch of alligators all writhing around in some shallow, muddy water. And we say at the top, it'd be like one of those jokes with a punchline. The top question will be, what do you call 6 million Jews thrown into the alligator pit? That'll be on top. And then on the bottom, below the alligator pit, it will say, a bad day for the alligators. And we can hold that right out in front of the synagogue or Randy Fine's house. What about that? What are they going to do with that?
This is Paul. This is Jonathan Spleen Splat. I'm coming
and
back
quickly,
to answer
and
your
quickly,
question.
Adding on to my own fantastic idea, you know how appropriate this is because it's in the state of Florida. Get it? Alligators, Florida, the Florida Gators, you know, all that stuff. You guys even appreciate the stuff I'm coming up with here?
We have a caller.
Thank you.
We have a caller. Okay. Over 9,000 in Florida. Over 9,000. Welcome to the show.
Okay. I was wondering, you know, you just want someone to call in, so I thought I'd call in.
Down over 9,000, you called in.
I called in. I think you guys are talking about this fire that's going on. I got
what
my neighbor.
What does over 9,000 mean?
I bought a car. I paid cash for it.
Okay, continue with your story.
$22,000.
That was good enough. You
car.
Answered the question.
Okay. If you spend any more than $10,000, one penny, well, then it's a red flag. They send it to the IRS, the FBI, they got you on file. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know. That's kind of interesting. That's over 9,000.
Gotcha.
Wow, this is a scintillating call. One of the most scintillating calls we've ever had. Please continue.
Okay. Well, yeah, you guys, my neighbors, they're in Indiana. They went to Michigan, and they're telling me the smoke is real bad there. I'm seeing all these videos of New York with all the smoke. What kind of thing do you think they're trying to pull now? I mean, try to get some people off their property and burn everything up and sell the land penny on the acre, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's, yes.
I mean, on a serious note, we can only speculate. This is absolutely horrific. To whatever extent all the fires, you know, being real and all the real damage done to, I mean, I feel bad for the wildlife. Anytime there's a wildfire, I feel terrible for, like, the flora and the fauna of the forest, and then, of course, the people that are affected, too. So, obviously, yeah. We live in an extremely evil world where there's really sick, evil perverts trying to push an agenda by destruction. And, you know, it's no accident that all these fires are occurred at the same time. There can't be just one big fire. There had to be many starting points. And everything is just speculation on our part.
Yeah. Well, we know that.
Hey, this is William Repillum. Hey, this is William Repillum. I've decided to join my own show.
And I have an answer for you over 9,000 in Florida. Because actually there is definitive proof that this is what they're doing. So if you go on RBN's newsreel on the website, you can't really see it on your phone. But you can see it on a regular desktop computer. Yeah. And this newsreel is fantastic. Over 9,000. Have you seen it? The RBN newsreel?
I haven't seen the newsreel, no. I've seen all kinds of crazy.
It's wonderful. It's the best newsreel. It's better than any newsreel out there. It's better than Blacklisted News. And so there's an article called Wildfires as a Weapon. So hold on. Let me just read this real quick. Is the military-industrial complex insane enough to incinerate Earth's last remaining? And thank you, over 9,000, for calling in and bringing up this point. I want to give you big props. Is the military-industrial complex insane enough to incinerate Earth's last remaining forests in order to achieve the objectives of the global controllers? The short answer is yes. A formerly classified U.S. military document titled, quote, Forest Fire as a Military Weapon, is a truly shocking expose of planned scorched earth destruction. The U.S. Forest Service actually participated in the research and planning that went into this military instruction manual for carrying out orchestrated forest fire catastrophes. What part have climate intervention operations played in the preparation of forests for extreme and unprecedented incineration all over the world? The short video report reveals the shocking degree of research that the U.S. military and the U.S. Forest Service has put into preparing forests for extreme incineration. And so this is a 17-minute video by Dane Wigington. We're not going to play it now, obviously. We don't have time for that. But go to the RBN newsreel on republicanbroadcasting.org on your desktop computer, and you'll find this article here. It's called Wildfires as a Weapon of Mass.
Now, I think I come across that on BitChute. Dane Worthington, he's the chemtrail guy, I think. And this video, this documentary.
Geoengineering Watch.
This video had him in that too, and I think I've seen a documentary like that. I just want to, or a video like that on BitChute last night. Yeah, it might be the same one because he was in it too. At, near the end, he showed up. I mean, scorched earth. I mean, that, and you got everything else they're doing, killing the animals.
The point is this, real quick. There's a formerly classified U.S. military document titled Forest Fire as a Military Weapon. And this is something to look into.
Wow.
That's another talked about on this video.
Okay, so listen, the two of you be quiet for a second, because Paul from California has something to say. So there's a very, high unlikelihood that anything is going to burn this time of year to begin with. Think about it. So it's well known that we had a very wet spring out here in California, and of course over there in Canada in the East Coast, they also had a very wet spring, a lot of rain, and it hasn't been that long since it rains. That green vegetation there is not really going to combust, not this time of year. It's pretty much unheard of to have forest fires at basically the end of May or the early part of June. So I've heard some speculation, and we're just going to call it crazy, but you know, remember that supposedly 60,000 tons or pounds or whatever it was of the ammonium nitrate that was missing from some shipment? And, of course, that's a very flammable material. So who knows? But they're more than likely doing something chemically to get flames or fire to burn somewhere because, again, with as green as it is in eastern Canada, Quebec, and as wet as the spring was, you're not going to get a fire to start. Okay, so there's something going on. I don't know what it is, but again, we
yeah, you do. You know what it is. It's what they're spraying on us. They're spraying on us, and that's what you're alluding to. And I know you're very cleverly with your goyim brain. You're so clever with your goyim brain, Paul from California.
Well, there's actually videos of helicopters spraying fire. It looked like napalm. I've seen that. Well, of course, you don't know if that's real.
We can't put anything past these people at this point because they are so hell bent on their path of destruction. It should be obvious, And it really is. I mean, when you go back to the Germans and the National Socialists and what they talked about, what they knew what it was a struggle for existence, us versus them. That's how they looked at it. It was a struggle of existence. And that's how we got to think. I'm sorry to say, I'm trying not to be serious all the time, but.
Well, you know, I have no problem with National Socialists. I grew up around German people. I grew up around German people. Listen, and I grew up around the people who are still alive in their 90s. My friend's mother, and she was there. She lived through the whole thing. Only thing I have trouble with is when I see a meth head. When I see a bunch of meth heads, I think about National Socialism. Because I know we've been bombarded with that on the Hitler Channel. I mean, the History Channel. That they all did meth and all, but you know, I mean, you know, they went perfect. That's the only problem I kind of had with the National Socialism. The whole meth thing, you know. Because this
Hold on a second. So you. Okay, so you think that the History Channel is the Hitler Channel and that the National Socialists were a bunch of meth heads. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying they all were.
Let's not drag this out.
No, I'm not. But they did invent it, though. They invented it, right? I mean, because there's a lot of people making
They invented speed. Speed is a little different than meth. But anyway, yeah, it was well known that they gave the Germans weren't the only ones. Okay, we did it, too. Right. We gave soldiers some methamphetamine, some speed to basically keep them awake, because you cannot stay awake for days in combat situations without that kind of a help as a rule. But in a combat situation,
you can kind of understand it a bit.
Yeah.
Especially when you're fighting for the survival of your country.
Right. Which is the only point that I was making earlier about the us versus them. Clearly, no matter if they never start another fire, it's clear when you look at photos. I have a newspaper photo I could actually send you after the show, William, of the San Jose Mercury News. It's a front page, and it's an above view, like it was taken with a drone or something. And it shows these houses that are completely burned out to ashes, and around them, in between the houses, all the trees and the shrubbery are fine.
Directed energy weapons.
Yeah, so clearly they have the ability to make this kind of war upon us. They can't make it everywhere at all times, obviously, but I would imagine they are trying to ramp up their ability to do these sorts of things, because it's not just in one place at one time that they wish. You know, that's why they're doing all the many what we call avenues of destruction, that they're, you know, economic and, you know, weather war and frequency and, you know, food.
Right.
It's just, again, we have a committed, implacable enemy, and I keep making this point over and over, and I don't know how much good I'm doing to continue to make it, but I have...
Well, let me just interject something here. Sure. So, planning, the term planning, think about that for a minute. So, planning started back in 1890 or so, and it continued through the World Wars, and then after the Jewish victory of World War II... Then once they got that, then they had set up shop so that they could carry out their plans.
Stop defaming me.
Yes. I will stop defaming Jonathan Greensplat. I promise, Jonathan Spleen Splat, that I will stop defaming you on, let's see, we'll think of a date. Later. But as for right now, the Jews have been planning. They put all these plans in place. This is what we can learn from this. We can learn that planning,
right?
Because we can make plans, we can plan, and we can come up with strategies.
Right.
Strategic, you know, this is how corporations work. They make strategic planning. And
this,
you know,
and by the way, this,
we
this
can
is
think
a perfect...
this way too.
If you don't mind, William, too, this is a perfect point for an interjection to remind people of the sort of things I talk about politically in terms of an authoritarian state, for example, or National Socialism, because obviously these people engage in a very long-range planning. I mean, it's no accident that they control the media and politics and banking and so on, major heads of all these corporations, right, all the hedge funds that had... The result we're seeing now is obviously from planning and implementing a strategy. So that's why I mock and ridicule all these people that talk in terms of, oh, well, I'm for freedom, individual freedom, liberty. You know, I don't want to have, you know, a government with a lot of authority and blah, blah, blah. This is just a recipe for death and disaster to our race, okay? Because the people that don't want to be organized and don't want to commit and don't want to submit to an authority are going to be ruled and overrun by those people who are committed to do those things to us. So
for yeah. now, and you have to recognize the authority that is for you and your people when you see it. And you can't recognize it unless you understand the history behind what's actually happened. So
I think yes. religion has a big part of it too. I think for the last 2,000 years we've been in chains by and binded by religion, and they use that as their ultimate, that is their guard, that is their shield, that is one of their biggest weapons. Because I look at any Abrahamic religion as controlled opposition.
Well, for the most part, it actually is.
Yeah.
The most part actually is. But I would say that there is a true, that Jesus Christ, if you get to know him by reading first the four gospel books, get to know what he was trying to get humanity to understand, that's a whole different thing. It's nothing to do with religion at all.
I grew up in church.
I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about
every church, let him talk, William.
Yeah.
Well,
I just want to make that clear.
I know. No, let him talk. Doesn't matter. Let him say what he wants.
Yes, it does matter.
Anyone I've ever spoke to about this, I've had my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everyone I've ever spoke to about this issue, it just turns into an argument. But every church I've ever been into in my entire life had an Israeli flag in it. I'm 60 years old. And if you spoke about any of this, you're attacked. So where do you go to have this un-Zionistic religion, Christianity?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see it anywhere.
You read the Gospels.
Incendie au Québec.
We're at the end of the show.
Fires in Quebec. Incendie au Québec.
Okay.
Bye.
Mike,
call back
right.
next time.
All right.
Over.
Ooh. See, I'm just trying to say, William, just don't get triggered by the word church. That's all he did was use the word church, and you got triggered and started reacting to it.
You got triggered. Get off my show. All right. We'll see you guys later. Later.
All right.
Have a good
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.